Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Church, it's been, actually, we as a church have been thinking for weeks and weeks and weeks, months, actually. What can we share this Christmas? What can we share to really make this season special for each one of us? Well, not just for us, actually, for anybody who comes through the door, and for your friends, for your neighbours, for the people that you love. How can we make it special? And we've put together a series, it's called A Christmas to Remember. And I'm very excited because, actually, Christmas is full of memories, right? It's full of amazing, amazing memories. I'm lucky, right? My parents still live in the same house that I was born in, which is unusual, right? Yeah. It's unusual. Which means at some point over this Christmas season, I will go to my parents' sitting room and I will sit. It's not the same chair. The chair has changed, right? But it's almost the same chair. But it's in the same place. I'll sit in the same chair that I sat since I was a little boy. I'll close my eyes and I will remember all the Christmases. And I will open, I'll just open my eyes a little bit, and in the corner will be the Christmas tree where it's always been. And the lights will be sparkly. It has some different decorations on, right? Because some of the ones we made have cycled out now. But they were wonderful when we made them. And but we'll look and I will remember. And for me, Christmas is about remembering. And I suspect whether you want to or not, you will remember Christmases that you've had. Some good, right? Yeah, great memories. Some not so good, for sure. Because life is life, and life doesn't stop at Christmas, right? It's not like things stop at Christmas. Life keeps going, and for some of you, you won't have necessarily brilliant memories. But we'll all have memories. And what I want to do tonight is really trying to answer this. How do we get the most out of our memories? If you love Jesus, does the Bible say anything about how we should remember it? Yeah. You know, when you remember, when you think back to what's happened, does the Bible give you, well, this is a good way to remember, and this is a bad way to remember? Because it does. And I don't know about you, but I want to, as it were, make my memories godly, make them useful for me, for my family, for my friends, for the people that I love, even the people I don't love, for anybody and me. I want my memories to be, as it were, really, really useful. I mean, memories are memories, right? And we have good memories. But actually, as a people of God, and if this is your first time in church, I actually believe it will help you even if you don't know Jesus yet. Because the Bible teaches wisdom for living, not just wisdom for a Christian, because a Christian life works, just works. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Mary. And it says in Luke chapter 2, these words, in verse 19, that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. But what were these things that she was treasuring? Well, the shepherds had just turned up. The shepherds had just burst into the stable where she was having her baby. And she'd had a baby. The baby's in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths, which all of you know because you know the song, right? And they literally burst in and said, "We've seen an angel and we've seen a choir of angels." And Mary and Joseph went, "That's cool." And they would have totally believed them, right? Because they'd both seen angels themselves. And they told this story. They told about the message of the angel that, you know, this child's been born. He's Christ the Lord. And then they talk about the choir singing, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to man on whom his favor rests," and whatever else they sang. And they told, and he says, Mary listened. And she formed a memory, a treasured memory, that she then pondered. And those of you who know your Bibles know about 12 years later or so, she had another treasured memory. When her son got, well, they thought Jesus was with them traveling. It took them 3 days to figure out Jesus wasn't with them. There is some parenting skills that I think Mary and Joseph maybe need to just kind of look over, right? Because if you lost your kid for 3 days without noticing, trust me, lots of people are going like, "Really? 3 days? Wow." Perhaps you just need to work on looking after children. Anyway, but they went back, found him. And Jesus just said, "Well, did you not know I would be in the temple in my father's house. And she treasured that thought and remembered. I suspect she remembered the angel that came before she was even pregnant. And she treasures these thoughts up. And which I'll come back to in a bit. But I was also thinking about Joseph. You see, Mary was Mary. I'm always thinking about Mary. But imagine the memories that Joseph had. You see, Joseph's memories weren't all good, right? They weren't, it's not like Mary. Mary got the baby. It was like a bit strange for her, and she had some social things to sort out, but she got the baby. What did Joseph get? You know, he got a wife that was having a child that wasn't his. Not necessarily the best memory a husband would want to start off married life with, right? Yeah? You know, he had that memory. He had, and he had the angel visit to do with that. He went to Bethlehem. And as the man of the household, he couldn't find anywhere to stay. I mean, how disorganized was he? Surely he should have sent a pigeon ahead or something, right? To book a room, because his wife was pregnant. But he turned up late, and there was no room left. Not necessarily the best memory to have, right? And then he had a trip to Jerusalem. If you remember, had the baby and the shepherds and everything. And then he went to Jerusalem, and he heard some stuff from Anna and Simeon, two prophets, that about what Jesus was going to bring to the family. There's going to be a sword that's going to pierce somebody's heart. I'm sure he went, well, that's not a nice memory. I don't think about swords piercing people's hearts. Thank you very much. And then an angel turned up and said, don't want to trouble you, Joseph, but you need to leave in the next 10 minutes and go to Egypt and by foot with your new baby. And he had this memory of having to flee to Egypt. Joseph had some interesting memories over Christmas, as did the shepherd, the wise men, the innkeeper, and many, many more. You see, some memories are good, some memories are not so good. But as Christians, how do we make the most of our memories? I want to suggest that we need to treasure memories. The memories of wonder, amazement, those surprises, those special, good, special surprises, the memories of love and kindness, the memories of the moments, the memories of understanding, even the moments, the memories of challenge that lead us to doing greater things in our life. But as we bring those memories to thought, into our minds, I think too we need to remember to think about, well, how does the Bible teach us to actually think through them? Is that okay? Yeah. I'm going to pray and then Father, we thank you so much that we have the ability to remember. Life would be strange if we couldn't do that. But Father, you know some of our memories are good and some are bad and some are neutral. And Father, all of us, whether we know you or not yet, want to be able to use those memories well to help us and to help our families and our friends, those that we love. So the memories won't overpower us, but they'll be useful. So for my prayer, Father, is that we would, even if we don't remember what I say, God, we'll remember the impression that we have choice over memories and what we do with them. And Father, that if we can use them well, actually they can glorify you and can bless us and bless our family. So Father, I pray, come speak to us. Come instruct us. Help us, Father, to leave this place with just a brilliant way to deal with the past so that we may go forward into our glorious future. In Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want to say is this about memories. Mary treasured the moment. So when the shepherds turned up, she treasured that moment. She treasured that memory. And it seems to me that we need to remember especially the important moments in our life. We need to remember especially the important moments of our life. It says that Mary pondered on these things in her life. I'm sure she also pondered on the angel that she'd seen. She pondered on the fact she went to see her cousin, probably her cousin, a relative, Elizabeth. She pondered on the fact that the woman that was seemingly barren was going to have a child. She pondered on the fact that Jesus knew who his father was at such a young age. And she pondered. But these were important moments in her life. And I would suggest that we remember and bring to mind and fill our mind with the important moments of life, especially the ones to do with God's interaction in our life, but also other memories that are important for us as human beings. means that, because memories that will help our life and our faith grow. These are the sort of memories I'm talking about. Many years ago, when I was 19, I kind of made a re-decision to follow Jesus with everything that I had. And a couple of weeks later, and I can still remember the exact place in the field on my dad's farm, where I was walking down the field, and I knew that God was with me. I knew that heaven was real. It's a memory I often think about. Why? Because it's so significant to my faith. You see, and if you're a Christian, if you love Jesus, you will have memories, encounters of God in your life. They are not there to be wasted. They are there to be used to fuel your faith, to help you understand and go forward into everything that God has for you. And when we're thinking about Merry Christmas, bring those to mind. Bring those faithful moments where God did things, bring them to mind. Don't forget about those things that God did. Remember them, dwell on them. Make them treasured moments to ponder on. Because it's so important for us, because we so easily forget. But actually, there's other memories that we should be bringing to mind. In 1988, on the 5th of May, I caught a train back to Lancaster. Very excited. I'd already arranged for my suit to be dropped off at my in-laws, ready for the moment. And in my pocket was a little box, which contained something circle with a stone on top. And I was very, very excited. And I traveled back. And for those of you who've done it, you kind of check your pocket, don't you, every kind of 2 minutes. It's still there. It's still, it's good. It's going to be fine. It's still there. It's good. And I can remember getting off the train and meeting Michelle. And I'd even arranged a meal. I was like so proud of myself. And it was all secret. I hadn't told anything. It was brilliant. And I can remember thinking, well, I need to talk to my father-in-law, John, before I do the... And so I kind of pulled John aside into the what was the dining room then, and I said, John, can I ask for your daughter's hand in marriage? And I can remember his face of shock. I think it was the timing rather than the fact that somebody would want a daughter, right? So, and I can remember his shock, and he's kind of like, well, some of you are really slow. Anyway, and I can just remember, and he was like, he was almost speechless, but he kind of composed himself. He said, oh, she'll be very expensive. That was it. That was the only thing I said. Said, yeah, it's true. It was a true statement. It's been very expensive. And then I said, yes. Great. And Michelle's mum, Margaret, had already twigged. So she said, oh, we're all going out for fish and chips. We're going to go down to the shore for fish and chips. And Michelle's sister was there, and she's going, well, why are we going? I don't need to go for fish and chips. And said, yeah, but we all need to go for fish and chips tonight. And it's kind of the all. It's really clear. And I can remember we were in the living room, and got down on one knee. And I said, will you marry me? And of course she said those immortal words. Get up and stop messing about. Seriously, she really did, right? And I was like, oh, I have the ring. Pulled out the ring, open it up. Will you marry me? And I can remember her look of obviously surprise and wonder. I think that I'd managed to hide it from her. And she took the ring, put it on. I discovered girls have different ring sizes, but you've heard that story before, right? So it's very, very loose. But from time to time, I remember not just what I did, but the feelings. Why? Because you see, marriage isn't always easy, right? We have great days. We have shocking days. But I remember why. I remember those feelings that she said yes to me. The excitement of thinking that she would be my wife forever. See, it's not a spiritual memory, but it's a darn good memory, and it's really, really important that I bring that important moment into my heart, my soul, into my mind, and dwell on it from time to time, that I may not forget that I am the luckiest man in the world, because you did say yes. And they're the sort of memories. Some will be faith-filled, and that's really important. So I put it first. But there's also other memories that you should be bringing to mind, which will help you live an amazing, healthy life. Remember and ponder important moments. The second thing I want to say is this. We need to spend most of our time thinking, if not all of our time, thinking on good, positive memories. Good, positive memories, especially at Christmas time, because of all that Jesus has done for us. But good, positive memories. It says in Philippians 4, verse 8, these words. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Bring those things to memory. Bring those things to memory. I've read that list many times, some of you as well. And my first conclusion after reading that list every single time is this. Seriously? That's really hard. It's really hard, isn't it? Yeah. Think of everything that's true, everything that's noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, excellent or praiseworthy. I mean, seriously, how many memories have I got like that? Because that's reality. It's so easy to bring those rubbish memories, isn't it? It's so easy. That person offended me. That person did this. I know that person meant to do that, but they did that instead. I feel so hurt, so bad. It's so easy to bring to mind all those kind of memories. But Scripture says, and actually if you talk to, I'm not a psychologist or I'm not experienced in the, but I know enough to know this. Positive thoughts help us live amazing lives. Paul didn't know that. Paul was instructed by God to say positive things will really help your Christian life. But actually, you don't need to be Christian for that to be true. It's just true. It's a human trueness. And I want to encourage us to try and live in that practical list as much as we can. If I had time, we could go through each kind of element of it, but we don't. Suffice to say that what it means is that it will make us so that we're for people, for life, positive in the extreme, and we'll be thankful from the bottom of our hearts if we can follow that list. I'm not going to claim it's easy. Especially for you guys who live in the half-empty cup mode. But it will help all of us raise our life into a new abundance that Jesus promises us. It really, really will. I have a practical suggestion for you, which you can scribble down in your books. Why don't you think about the last few days and make a list? How many positive, life-giving thoughts did you have? And how many negative, not very life-giving thoughts did you have? Make a list. Do the same thing in a month, and maybe in 6 months, and see if you can swap the list around. I didn't do very well Saturday morning. I just want to confess. I've got a bit of a cough, and I'm sleeping lots, which is... So I eventually got out of bed at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. I'm sorry for everybody who's really early, but I got up at 9 o'clock, and I went downstairs, and Michelle had been cooking the day before. Well, not cooking; she'd been making batter for waffles. Waffles. Now, waffles is made out of flour and milk and eggs. And for those of you who've done any baking, you know that flour goes absolutely everywhere, right? Mix it with a bit of milk, and it becomes this kind of like sticky, gluey paste, right? If you don't clean it off quickly, it kind of sets. Kind of goes hard, it kind of sets. And I got downstairs, and Michelle's worked so hard for sisterhood, right? And I've been trying to support her really, really well and be a good husband and a good pastor. And I got downstairs, and I looked around the kitchen. And I mean every side on the kitchen. If you've been in our kitchen, that's a lot of sides. I looked at the table, and I thought, I can't believe it. The table too. There wasn't anywhere I could put a dish down. Now, as a loving and gracious husband, according to Philippians 8, I should have thought, oh, my wife's been so busy. I'm so proud of her. Isn't she amazing? She's worked so hard, and she's kind of cleaned up a bit, but she's been working so hard. It's going to be such a good day. I'm going to bless her and tidy the whole kitchen up because I just want to bless her and think great thoughts about her all day. That's what I should have done, right? That would be fantastic. And that's what you would have done, right? You wouldn't have thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe the whole kitchen's a mess. I can't believe there's nowhere to have my breakfast. I can't believe she's left me all this mess for me to clean up. You would never think like that, right? Would you? Oh no, oh, not just me, right? That was me on Saturday morning. I kind of recovered from it, what, about 10 o'clock at night or something last night? Yeah. What I was saying, it's not easy to do. I don't want you to think I'm preaching at you like I have it sorted, because that would be unfair of me. All you have is my assurance that I'm trying really hard. And the thing is, and I've said this before, God does not expect perfection. He does expect us to try. That's it. And then God supports us as we try. And if you try, you'll get better over the years. Hopefully I was slightly less cross than I would have been a year ago. That's kind of my aim, right? Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The third thing I want to say is this. I think this is really, really important for us. In Romans 8, verse 28, the writer of Romans says this: we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Notice the all things and the good. God works for good in all things. So my third thing is this: in every memory, remember that God is working good out of it. The reason why I shared kind of some of Joseph's memories is this. I think Joseph, as a man, could have gone two ways with what happened to him on that first Christmas. And both of them would have, in one sense, been understandable. You see, he found out that his betrothed woman, the woman he loved, the one he was going to get married to, was already pregnant. It would have been utterly justifiable if he'd been furious. Because he would. Because he knew it wasn't him. Because he was an honorable man. And nothing had happened between them up to that stage. And he could have been furious. And even when the angel had turned up, he could have gone, but God, it's still not fair. That would have been fine in my book. But God, it's not fair. I didn't want to start my marriage off looking after somebody else's baby, even yours. That wouldn't have been. I don't think God would have got cross at him. I don't think God would have condemned him for it. God would have said, "That's okay. Let's work through it, son." You know. But we don't read that about Joseph. Joseph decided, if God says I am trustworthy enough to have his son, I will walk in that. Now, the Bible doesn't say, and we presume that Joseph died before Jesus went on the cross, probably before he started his ministry. So we don't know what Joseph felt. We know what Mary felt because we think she was alive, and we think particularly Luke went to talk to her, but or at least knew somebody who had talked to her. So we don't know how he felt, but Scripture seems to imply that he sorted his head out after the angel had left. And went, if this is what God wants, I'm in. What an incredible attitude. He said, if God's in this, I'm in it as well. I'll walk in it. And I just go, wow. I'm not sure I could have been so generous. But he saw God in it. And then the poor man, right? He's looking after God's child, right? His wife's 9 months pregnant. They've traveled quite a few days probably to get to Bethlehem. For whatever reason, they're a bit later than they should be, presumably. That's why there's no room in the inn for them. And it ends up in a stable. I mean, I'd be going like, God, I'm looking after your son. Crumbs, can you not at least arrange a room for me? I mean, come on, man. I'm doing my best here. It's not even mine. You know, it could have gone a bit like, and you know, if me, I'm traveling for 3 or 4, you'd be tired, dusty, dirty, hungry, thirsty. You'd be all those things, right? If you've had a long journey, how do you feel if you've been on a long journey? A bit ratty? a lot ratty. Some of you, right? Joseph was like that. And he had to put up with a stable. A smelly stable. It wasn't clean. They might have put some fresh straw down, but it wasn't clean. The animals were still in there. Yeah. The donkey was still pooing in the corner. Yeah, exactly. Ugh, not really, really. And that's what... But didn't seem to have any complaints. Yeah. He was doing God's business. God was in charge. It was going to be okay. And then, bless him, poor guy. You know, I've got the baby out, done the stable, done Jerusalem, blah, blah, blah. And then one night, in the middle of the night, another angel shows up and says, "Hi, Joseph." You can imagine the dread in his heart, right? Like, seriously? Another angel? I don't want any more angels in my life anymore. I've had enough. And then he says, "Don't want to disturb you, but you need to leave in the next kind of few minutes, maybe 10 minutes, half an hour. You need to go fairly quick because Herod's coming with an army to kill all the babies in this area." And Joseph has to wake up his wife, who's with a small child, wake up the baby and say, "Hi, love. Sorry to wake you up." I just imagine doing to Michelle. Honestly, I'd get slaughtered. Anyway. love, angel turned up in a dream. Says we have to go to Egypt. I know it's a few days' travel. In today's terms, it's like going to New Zealand. That's kind of how far it was. A long, long way away. Many hours, big cost, big expense. Nothing when he got there. That's why it wasn't like he had time to prepare. He didn't send some money down the road. He couldn't kind of like internet bank some money or anything. He went with what he had. I mean, fortunately, the wise men had been, so he did have a bit of gold, which probably helped. But that's another story for another day. But how God provides. But he could have been pretty upset. But you don't read any of that. It seems, as far as we can see, that Joseph got up, woke his wife up, and maybe thought this: God is interested enough in me to send an angel to care and protect me. How amazing is that? Maybe, we don't know, it's not recorded. But I believe as we remember, good or bad, we need to remember that God has a purpose. God is going to do some good through it. Because that so helps every single memory that we have. I remember being called into the ministry way back in the 1990s and saying, "But God, I'm trained in agriculture. That's not going to be very useful. I know how to milk cows, fix machinery, but I also knew how to do accounts. I knew how to deal with solicitors and lawyers and accountants. I'd done a course on how to best manage people. Actually, God had given me the fundamental gifts already of how to run an organization." You see, when we think back, good or bad, God has a plan and a purpose, and he will use every single part of your life if you'll let him. Remember the verse says, "For those that love him." God will use every part of your life, even that bit before you knew God, because God already knew you. Nothing is wasted for each one of us as we follow Jesus. The final thing I want to say, and then I'll pass it back to Michelle or Dave, who is jumping up next. As we remember this Christmas, let's remember that we're in part of God's eternal plan. God sent his son, Jesus, as a baby, because he had a plan, an eternal plan. He'd created the world, and we sang that amazing song about how God spoke a world and the billions of galaxies were born. And it's true. Even the scientists say it's true. They don't believe it was God, but there was a moment in time where everything was born, as if somebody had spoke it into being, and the galaxies were formed. Not just a few, billions. The crazy nature of God's power. And he had a plan. He knew that they would form and the earth would come along, and he created us, he created. And the Bible says that he knew each one of us before we were born. He created us. And he knew that we'd be sinful. He knew that we would need a savior, somebody somewhere to stand in the gap so we could know God again. And he was called Jesus. And he came. That's why we celebrate Christmas, the greatest gift that mankind has ever known. God himself was given to us in the form of a baby. And then he died, and The Bible promises that one day he'll come again. That which is broken will be mended forever. No more crying, no more pain. No more having to say goodbye to people. No more aches. And do you know, getting a bit older, the aches and pains are annoying. I was walking down the stairs this afternoon. Something happened in one of my hips. And I kind of had to hobble through the kitchen. It's most embarrassing. Anyway, all that will be gone. It will all be gone. We are part of an eternal plan that God has for us. And we need to put on memories as we remember in the plan, not out of the plan, in the plan. We need to put it in the light of every promise that God has ever made. Promises that he'll be with you. He'll never forsake you. That he'll take care of you. That he understands us completely. That we are utterly forgiven. If you love Jesus, you are utterly forgiven. And this is, I think it's key for me. Because I'm utterly forgiven, I can utterly forgive everybody else. I don't need to live in any way of feeling bad for people or getting cross. I can forgive them because I've got God living inside of me. Put every memory we have in the light of who God is and the light of the eternal plan. That one day we'll realize when we meet God face to face that whatever the memory is today, it's, as it were, of little significance to the fact when we meet him face to face. Honestly, when we meet God, we're not going to really care much about life, right? If you love God, you're probably not going to care much at all. You'll remember it all, but it'll be in the perspective of how important God is and how great he is. And every memory needs to be put in that level, needs to be put in the right place in our lives. God gives us memories. Some are good and some are bad. We give ourselves memories. Some are good and some are bad. Others give us memories. Some are good and some are bad. How we deal with those memories, how we remember, is up to us. It's up to you. You can remember as God would want us to, or you can remember as you want to. I want to remember as God was instructed us. Why? Because I want to live a long and healthy and happy life that's productive, glorifies God, but also helps my family, my friends, helps all of us go forward and take all that God has for us. So my prayer is this year, as you create new memories, that they're amazing, but also as you bring to memory other Christmases, some good, for some of you, some not so good, as you ponder what your life is, that you'll put them through at least those four filters, and you'll remember well, and you'll remember rightly, which means that your life can go forward into all that God has for you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.